Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, the conclusion of the inaugural Manager Tools case study, including the response that actually happened on the ground. What really happened? Here we go. Dan, we got through about half of the list last week, and we have to power on through and finish and honor everybody who was kind enough to send us their recommendations. We're going to start with another licensee, Andy Graves. Andy started with a nice introduction and then gave us a brief case study and said, there's turbulence, culture needs to shift, leaves us in a bind, we don't know productivity metrics, sales projections are flat, and so on.
I like the idea of summarizing. Just get a baseline. I like that.
Yeah. Just in my case, I just write it down. What do I know? And writing it down, I find out stuff that is inevitably true, but I didn't know that I knew until I thought through the existing knowledge. Andy says, first things to do, determine what the key leading metrics are to measure the business. One's got to be productive so we can have conversations on performance in 6 to 8 weeks.
Absolutely, Andy. And let's do this with the CEO, CFO. Do it early. It's good to know the context that you're operating in. I fully agree with this.
Good. Perform customer interviews with top customers. Prioritize biggest bugs or enhancements. We need to turn our reputation around. That includes get Victor involved here. He has a passion about it. Simon, the Australian CEO, seems engaged.
Yeah. And Mark, you know, we've been talking about this. Get back on the road to credibility with the customers first. So this is, I like this response. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say Dan and I might go a little deeper than top customers. If there are 500 customers, I wouldn't only call five. On the other hand, there's a Pareto principle. Probably 20% of your customers are responsible for 80% of your revenue. One other thing, I agree, this is good. And something different in Andy's case is he did not make the recommendation about going after delayed billing. That wasn't his focus. I like that. Number three, begin to address terrorist performance, HR concern, and fit.
You know, this starts right away. You know, and we talked about this. We're going to give Tara the benefit of the first week, benefit of the doubt on that. But that doesn't mean you don't start assessing from day one. You're watching behavior. You're watching her in different situations. And you're giving feedback when necessary.
Good. To determine who our bench is, to promote and grow, begin one-on-ones and team meetings to coach. If Dean had success in the past building his team, as he as mentioned in the cast, that was very prominent in the very beginning of the cast, can we utilize some of those folks at Webcom?
Again, I mean, this is a good, we're on a good streak here, Mark. Scan the team, scan the bench, see what you have while you're assessing. Think outside the box. I like this as well.
I actually think that a situation like this is a total win for anybody you bring down. I think the recruiting of it is of a person from this case, New York, the corporate headquarters of MFT, is a pretty easy move. Yes, there's logistics involved, and yes, there are some long hours, but from a career perspective, rather than a strict small tactical perspective, I think people would be crazy not to say yes for two reasons. If they've not done something like this before, it is exciting. It's different. You are going to learn. It's fire hose time. The downside is, suppose it goes sideways. The person that comes down with you, it's not going to be hung on him or her. It's going to be hung on you. So recruiting somebody, they get to learn. They get to see things. They get to make decisions. It's going to be much more freewheeling than corporate headquarters, which is always a bit of a stultifying environment. So nothing but upside career-wise. Then the next one is also, can we grow Webcom individual contributors like Victor to leadership?
I'm not sure it was how clear it was in the cast. Victor is not an individual contributor. He actually runs the visual design function.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So now, absolutely, we're going to look to grow individual contributors, particularly in Samir and Pam's areas. I think we're going to be looking to do that. But I just wanted to make sure we clarify that Victor is actually a manager.
That's good. Andy did pretty well.
Yeah, it's nice.
Okay. Al Loper is next. Al's a licensee as well. By the way, Al made a comment that Dan felt deserved a response. And I think, in a way, Al is sending a message to me, which Al, loud and clear, got it. I can do better. He says, with any luck, I will not get pilloried for my assessment.
I love the word pilloried. I think it's underused. Just for that, no pillory for you, Al. We got you.
Okay. Al says, initial actions. Put the relocation on hold until we can assess things. Helps to manage resignations. Okay. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, I would manage expectations that the relocation is going to take time. I wouldn't put it on hold because you just broke the glass last week and said, hey, we're relocating as part of this. Unsaying it and then re-saying it, I think will actually accumulate pain over time. So I would manage expectations. It's going to take time. Work with the folks on that message rather than putting it on hold. Does that make sense,
Mark? Yeah, I agree. I would say it a little bit differently. You simply cannot say this. I'll tell you why. You say it's on hold. Somebody at Webcom texts or emails somebody at MFT, says, hey, by the way, I may not be coming down after all. Princey's not sure I ever really was. What's-his-face says the move is on hold. Now, that is a leadership statement. That becomes a touchstone, if you will, for people. That will get to senior people at MFT, and the rumor will be, hey, they're not moving down here. And you're going to get a call from your boss saying, what's going on? I hear you guys may not be moving down here. Is that just a silly rumor? And you then have to say, actually, I did put it on hold temporarily. I don't intend to put it on hold. But, and your boss goes, I'm not sure what's worse. You suggesting to them that it might not happen, or you knowing it's going to happen and telling them it might not happen.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Not good, guys.
Creating a 3-hour political hairball, completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, before Rich calls, you're getting texts from people. Move not happening? What? I mean, who? What? Yeah. Okay. Establish and or reinforce standards.
I feel like this is not a first week item. We talked a little bit about standards earlier. Honestly, these are going to be more like MFT standards. I would want to work those in over time rather than dropping them, you know, and saying, oh, new standards.
Yeah, I don't need to establish or reinforce standards. I need to set them quietly with my behavior. I show up on time. I go to meetings. I make notes. I interact. I speak respectfully to people. I don't chop people's heads off when they disagree with me. I take contentious things offline. I talk about customers all the time. I tell other people good things I heard in other meetings and highlight people that really impressed me. I don't go for big and formal and presentations with 20 people in the room and 10 of them sitting around the outside with notebooks on their laps while they're on their phone, but rather short verbal briefings, not a lot of pomp and circumstance. Those kinds of things send powerful messages. I'm working on customers and on delivery and on quality and on relationships. Those are all standards, and we're not establishing or reinforcing them. We're simply engaging in behaviors that will allow people to infer what the standards are.
You're demonstrating them.
Yeah, and some of the standards, meetings, weekly leadership meeting, weekly one-on-ones, agendas in advance, customer interactions, arguing and so on is unacceptable. Remind teams to properly record hours.
Good list, especially one-on-ones, early hits for sure. Again, as we've been saying, want to make sure we determine that new leadership team up front. You know, let's pull out the informal leaders, understand who they are before you get formal around setting those meetings up.
Customer relationships, call key customers, inquire about unpaid bills after assessing the relationship. Expand customer conference calls to include development and design.
Yeah, again, right? Focus first on credibility with the customers.
Yeah.
Love the point. Reach out to customers, right? That's job one. Credibility first, establish trust, and then, you know, go after the kind of the ongoing financial issues that you have.
Yeah. Appoint interim team leader to development team, serve as interim head of products team yourself, get help for test and support, relieve test and support of collections responsibility. Assign appropriate support issues development team, assign appropriate support issues design team.
I like this list. This is a almost looks like a list that I would throw down on a piece of paper of all the things I need to do around development and product right away.
Right.
I think it mixes together a lot of different things. I actually like, you know, serve as head of products team until the learning is completed, right? Hey, I'm going to be it.
I would say something else as well. I think as often as we've said, yeah, that's not a first week thing. Some of you may be listening to Dan and going, okay, boy, that was a good list. I need to get right on that. No, our caveat still applies. You would not do these things Tuesday. You wouldn't. You'd get your, you know, again, sorry guys, roll your sleeves up, be learning, be understanding about people, assessing things and so on. And gradually, maybe a few of these first week, some of them second and third week, or announce things based on a series of meetings, 5, 6, 7, 10 meetings with some of these people on Thursday or Friday or the following Monday. You don't go in and Tuesday do all of these things.
Let me pull out two things here, Mark. Get help for the test and support team. Don't really know what kind of help they need until I do what you just said. I like relieve them of collections responsibility. That's a mess. We need somebody else in here to do that.
Yeah. And so that was good, Al. Thanks. Next is Oliver Robinson. Number one, decide who my management team direct reports are going to be and address the gaps.
Who?
And there are three major ones, Pam, Samir, and to some extent, Al, the admin. Okay. Maybe somebody from the other Cashbolt or MFT could step in if there's not somebody suitable in products. Perhaps I could fill one of myself as interim.
Oliver's thinking laterally, looking across the organization, right?
Yeah, it's good. Good first step. Next three actions are all communication. One to the management team, one to all employees, and one to Rich. Management team, we're starting one-on-ones. Then we're starting a weekly management meeting. Without question, I expect you to waterfall. Give them a heads up. Number two, to all Webcom employees, first key impressions I've had, challenges I see, things we need to address. Challenges, numbers are good, declining pipeline, lack of available time. I've seen impressions, I've seen some things that don't wash with the MFT culture. Okay. And then to Rich, give him a flavor of the above and find out what MFT's board expectation here is. See what resource I can leverage from MFT, finance resources, et cetera. Dan?
I like where he's going here. I would say good list around the one-on-ones and team meeting. I would put the Rich meeting up front, right? Let's get the air cover. Let's establish what resources do I have? What sort of things do you need to know for the board? I like that. The only thing missing here, customer communications.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that when you get told this and you go down for 2 days with the boss, now that you have a flavor of it after your Thursday and Friday, and you're getting ready to do the week, a Sunday call, most CEOs would say, yeah, I'd have been happy to talk to you. I mean, I sent you on a secret and dangerous mission. You know, of course, you're going to ask, what's the objective? And so on. Because Rich didn't really give you a whole lot of guidance specifically other than, hey, you're the new CEO. You're coming with me. Okay. Next, William Elledge. First four actions. Ask XCOM why FastTrader exists as a business unit of MFT and what 1 to 3 metrics most accurately represent that purpose. And the purpose then becomes the focus of, I think what we mean here is Webcom as a team. Might be profit over revenue, might be customer satisfaction. We got to get specific about that. We have to identify the number two for Samir and Pam to take their place. Probably somebody temporary and internal, which could be a good dangle to get some folks to stay. Dan?
Yeah. RC XCOM, I'm guessing he means Alex's old directs, right?
I think so, yes.
What remains of that team. If so, I like getting Rich's, you know, the CEO's view first on kind of what the parameters are, what the context, purpose, metrics, things like that. Say, hey, Rich, where do we want to take this baby? Just in general, you know, then you open it up, you have that meeting. Again, you have the, I need to establish who would attend without Samir and Pam, probably the next level down. And then open, you know, you could do a compare and contrast, Rich and what they think. You may find some pretty big gaps, though, between what they expect the company to do and what Rich does. And then you're going to need to act on those.
One of the reasons we're getting the responses we do is it's been my experience that if you are in a larger company, generally speaking, your goals are pretty clear to you if your boss has half a brain. And so therefore, if you're a mid-level manager, you see an organization beneath you and things aren't clear and you say, okay, I'm going to align everything. I'm going to get alignment. We're going to do. First, we get alignment. Then we get synergy, two overused buzzwords. And in fact, in this case, there is not clear. You don't know, based on what we shared with you, what exactly the CEO expects. And if you do a bunch of alignment to get everything online, you have to align them to something. And if you don't know what True North is, you could align them again to Northeast or Northwest. Okay, good. Write and start a 90-day plan. Scheduling O3s, key questions of staff, affiliates, stakeholders, clients. It might be an annoyance, but it'll keep Dean on track, especially when he's 30 to 60 days in. You get a false start, and then you get off track. This is interesting because William attached his own recent 90-day plan based on Watkins' famous book, First 90 Days. So what do you think, Dan? Write and start a 90-day plan.
I have a little high C in me, Mark. And I have a 90-day template that I had from my my master's program that I actually did. I did this. But I did. I very gently just started pencil writing underneath in each segment. But at the end of 90 days, I actually submitted a 90-day plan. Did include a SWOT. I threw a SWOT in the back of my notebook and would kind of just jot in. I think this is a strength. I think this is a weakness, opportunity. And then I would adjust it. I'd be like, oh, you know what? That was not a strength. You know, move it over here. And I just used it as kind of a scratch pad. I didn't formally start a 90-day assessment, though, the first week. First week, I was just hoping that the floor would stay up.
Yeah, exactly. And number three, stop the financial bleeding. We don't know how invoicing works, but you got to get people billing to the jobs they're working on. Get to the bottom of the outstanding invoices, eliminate an $8 million loss. Maybe lay people off, certainly other cost-cutting measures, horses, office in Connecticut, travel limitations, good start, meaning we're not going to buy horses. We're going to stop paying to ride them every week. And the office in Connecticut means everybody really is moving to White Plains, New York. Implement a hiring freeze without Dean's approval. Ramp up flex time to save on office space. On a side note, shared, William says, I don't believe the purpose of business is to make money, but money is like oxygen. You die without it. You need money to serve your greater purpose. William, good. The purpose of any business is to serve society, to help society get more of what it wants. And large organizations have been masterful at that in the last couple of hundred years. Dan?
I agree with going after the financials. I would break them into two parts. There's kind of the business customer-related financials, and then there are the kind of operational financials. I think there are some really obvious things, i.e. horseback riding, in the operational stuff to go after.
Yeah.
Travel, et cetera. On the customer side, root cause. And that's where we said, let's go establish some credibility with these customers, understand what's really happening and why we're not being paid by them.
Yeah, this is good. I mean, I think probably some people are sick of it. They'll probably hear somebody talk about customers and then roll their eyes. Here goes Dan again talking about customers. Well, you know, folks, customers are good to have. And number four, identify small wins to report back to your boss, Rich Rodgers, CEO. This primarily to protect Dean's situation. It is possible this all goes south.
Yeah. I would be expected to create my own level with Rich and get some air cover right away. Say, Rich, I think these are the things we need to hit. If I start without that context of giving him, look what we did, look what we did, look what we did, I'm not sure he cares about that. I would rather establish it first with him and then go into that list.
Yeah, I think if you walk into Webcom like you're walking into a plant and you start trying to set up some wins, I just started rereading the goal maybe for the 10th time. And, you know, I think what will happen is Rich Rodgers will say to you, a la Bucky Burnside in the goal, from Bill Peach's perspective of Rich will call you up and say, you know, I just got a call from your number one customer, says he hasn't heard from you yet. I read your email this morning about small wins. How can you be focused on small wins when you haven't talked to your number one customer? That would be a significant negative. Okay, last, number five. I know you asked for four, but this is not a work action. Agree on time expectations with family. This is going to be hard for the next 3 to 9 months, long nights, early mornings. Maybe commit to Sundays at home, Thursday evenings, softball, whatever. He needs to define a commitment to his family, with his family.
This is going to be a significant withdrawal from the emotional bank account with the spouse and family. It's an upfront conversation. It was for me. You know, I had a very young child, And I think this is an important conversation to have. But, you know, it's a good conversation. It's constructive. And a lot of times you get some really good feedback and even some pointers.
Good. And then last point he makes is one thing not to do, fire Tara, need more info. She could just be overworked.
Totally agree. Yep.
Okay, good. Next, we hear from the inimitable Dan West. And Dan starts out immediately with, this is tough with the information provided. Yes, well, life is hard and then you die. So, Pam Wilson, attempt to retain, potentially offer her Tara Gomez's team if she stays.
You know, Dan, you're the first person to go for this. And now that I think about it, she would have been really good to run Tara's team. I don't think I would offer it because I really was very sure that her mind was made up. But if she dangled it, I would have gone for it. And you know, if she came back the following week and said, you know, I really wish I could, you know, I may have gone for it. Clearly, she's competent. She put together an excellent presentation. She knows what's going on, more constructive than some of the other directs. But it's not something I would have done outwardly, just gone and made an offer. I don't think the counter would have worked.
Okay. Tara, her team must shape up one-on-one. And then Dan says, including HR, and explain gaps you've seen. Key issues are customer service, lack of product knowledge, $4 million in owed funds. Further, leadership team meeting, set expectations. The move will happen. We're over budget. Need cuts from all teams. Need to work together. One-on-one meetings with next-level leaders in all the groups. Look for potential replacements for Samir and Pam. Maybe bring in a trusted colleague you can lean on. I think it'd be possible to merge Pam and Tara's teams with the right leader.
Right on the money there. I like that last part, especially on looking for replacements and one-on-ones and doing that, not doing it in a large group. The one-on-one, including HR, I wouldn't include HR, but I would like for her to have one with HR.
I think that's a one-to-one-to-one or a one-to-two or a two-to-one or three-to, I don't know. Yeah, you wouldn't do that. That's not saying you wouldn't have a conversation with HR. You wouldn't talk to them about what they're hearing. And obviously, you can't block Tara from availing herself of the HR resources of the organization.
Yeah. Indeed, Dean asked her to speak to HR the previous week.
So. Yeah. The bonus item is to meet with Elle. Understanding Dean's calendar and potential sales meetings may help drum up business.
I definitely would debrief Elle. A lot of knowledge there, just logistically around the company. Not sure about whether it would drum up business. I think the customer and technical issues need to be addressed first.
Yeah.
But, you know, debriefing Elle is kind of important.
Yeah. Because Dan's a friend, I'll give him the leeway of saying, I think drumming up business is really more about understanding what Alex's schedule was, about who he's talking to customers, and there may be opportunities there. At this case, the opportunities may be simply to hear from someone who is either struggling and has a good relationship or is doing well and has a good relationship. So, all right. Well done, Dan. Next, Ben Plogger. Folks, I should have said this before. If I mispronounced your name, I apologize. Here's what I would do if I were Dean Morgan. Establish regular weekly leadership team meetings, weekly one-on-ones with all my directs. I expect my directs to follow suit with their teams. We have a complete culture shift that needs to happen, and this is where it will start.
This is good. Once you establish that team, the first thing is understand what that team is going to be. I like this. I like also asking them to carry it to their teams.
Yeah, good. I would seek to promote a member of Samir's tech team to Samir's position, okay? I would meet with each team member, seek further qualitative and quantitative data about the people on the team, promote one of them.
That's how I would go about it as well. I would meet with them individually. I would also add a series of meetings with them in small groups, see how they interact, see if informal leaders come to light. I would not give Samir's replacement the CTO title, maybe head of engineering or something like that.
Right.
I would also look for, and this is a good opportunity, look for heroes and bottlenecks as well. You know, possible key person risk situations. A lot of times you uncover those in these small group meetings.
Yeah, good. Next, if Tara didn't voluntarily resign within a few days, I would terminate her. I'd involve HR and legal in the process. The direct and visible action will be followed by my clear message. Customers are main red. You know, we will have make or break moments with customers, and we have to make and not break.
Yeah. You know where we are on this. Yeah, not yet.
Yeah, you can't do it. Guys, you can't fire somebody within 3 or 4 days of them complaining about discrimination or harassment or anything else, unless they walk into the office with a loaded weapon, okay? I would advertise terrorist position internally and externally, give each internal candidate an interview, strongly consider external candidates as well.
Yeah. I mean, if you weren't talking about Tara, obviously any other replacement there, outside perspectives are good.
Yeah. Good. That's where you'd start. Ben, well done. Next, Mark Hommerding. The brief introduction, basically, company seems to be led by an entrepreneur and charismatic founder. It's a good start, and maybe not being able to transition the company to becoming a great organization. And I would like to ask the parent company, where the heck was the transition plan?
Me too, but you know, companies are doing a lot of things. Building transition plans don't make money.
Yeah, so. Exactly. First four actions I would take. Step one, hold a meeting with all senior staff immediately. Announce there'll be weekly staff meetings to report on key deliverables. What are the numbers? Doesn't seem like anybody knows. Meantime between failures, sales plans, innovation timelines, no unity command. The previous commander was the unity, but I'm not seeing that command structure as unified behind a vision. What do you think?
Couple things. One, we haven't defined senior staff just yet. I like where you're going with this. These are things a CEO or a manager of the unit is going to need to understand. Wouldn't do it week one because you know they're not going to have this stuff in the room. You can just feel it the 2 days you were there. I might have here's what we're going to be looking at going forward. Let's talk about how we start gathering these numbers and who's going to own them meeting, but I wouldn't do it week one.
Good. Step two, get a grip on your cash flow. Cash flow crisis. Immediately start working on collecting the outstanding receivables. Dean takes the top five outstanding bills, personally calls them, asks about the situation. There might be a reason those bills are not being paid, like lousy work product or poor service. Figure out why we either not billing correctly or why we're not collecting.
Yeah, service first, understand the service issues back, deal with the pay later.
Good. On the expense side, the Horses for Happiness program is done. Who signed off on that? T&E is over 20% of annual budget. Please. I think that was the only single word sentence in anybody's responses. Please. How much entertainment is required? Controls relax, so on.
Yeah, I'm going to find a way to defer and ultimately kill that event. Yep.
And by the way, guys, one of the ways you do that stealthily is on Thursday at 3:30, you schedule a meeting with 8 or 9 or 10 people that is going to last for 2 hours. And those people won't be going, and they'll probably have their people getting ready, and you're not going to talk about that. And if somebody says they're going, you say, gee, don't you have stuff to do? And that happens after 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. You say, hey, by the way, attendance is dwindling. We're canceling it. Step three, marketplace review with how we stack up against competitors and customers. You know, the CFO, Fran, said sales are flat, maintenance over budget, we're not developing. People are voting no by taking their capital elsewhere. Our product isn't performing well enough. And then he goes on and says, has the tech team ever talked to a real life customer? There are things that Simon and others are complaining about. They might have a great plan for what they want to do and be enthusiastic about that, but they really know what the customers need in order to run their businesses. How do we know where to tell the tanks to go if we don't know what targets we're going to attack?
So I really like the concept of actual development team talking to customers, but certainly want to understand the customer service issues first and kind of the big meeting to say, where are we going as a team? We are going in the wrong direction. That's a good thing. Again, not first week though. You really need data. It's a data gathering week.
Yeah. As you said in your notes, I would like an idea session over a venting session.
Right.
Yeah, good. Step four, call HR. You need to help backfilling positions and maybe creating some more vacancies like Tara. Tara's yelling, and according to Pam, whom it appears she appeared trustworthy, Tara wasn't doing a good job. Maybe Pam resigned because of Tara. What do you think?
Again, Tara gets another chance in my book.
Yeah. And then we have another comment about, as an aside, Rich Rogers, where were you in the past?
Sure, Mark, I agree with that. Think it. Don't repeat it, swallow it, move on.
Guys, there's no good in you going back to MFT headquarters and saying, why didn't you guys do this or that or the other thing, so on. Folks, you have a 900-pound gorilla in a very small room with you. The idea that you're going to take time to complain to people about putting you in there That didn't help you solve the problem. How do you subdue the gorilla?
Yeah, and to Mark's credit, it's in parens here. I think it's rhetorical. Certainly, I thought
yeah.
it.
Yeah, good. Okay. Where is HR in all this mess? Do they have profiles on key peoples? Interview Elle extensively before she leaves? Maybe tell me some stuff about the team.
Lots of times, HR only loosely involved with subsidiaries. You'll see this. And I agree with the Elle interview, by the way, very soon.
Yeah, good. Dean has a bonfire to put out, but after that is in control, work to understand his team, figure out who is who, what the relative strengths are, an eye toward the future.
Yep. And again, coming up with that provisional leadership team, I think is one of Gene's first things. And then from there, go after the fires kind of while you're doing that, and then with that team.
Good. Well done, Mark. Thanks for writing. Okay, next, Nathan Nipper. Number one, assign responsibility for accounts receivable collections invoicing. Identify someone who maintains a professional presence, not Tara. Can work with handle difficult people. Give them weekly closure objectives on collecting AR and reducing DSO, day sales outstanding, guys. If you don't know what that is, look it up. And at some point, Manager Tools will do a series about finance, and that will be in there.
Nathan's right. DSO is becoming a big number here. But again, we've repeated this. Initially, get to know the customers yourself, Dean. Establish a rapport. Then you can introduce kind of and do some proofs of a new point of contact, get a new point of contact involved. But only once you've established credibility, gotten some wins on behalf of those customers, and made them understand that, Dean, me, I'm the chief customer officer. This person's just going to help facilitate. Buck stops with me.
Yeah, good. Hold first weekly senior staff meeting Tuesday morning. You're going to brief everybody on one-on-ones, announce when they'll start, expectations, how to talk to customers and coworkers. All employees expect to bill hours, establishing core hours, Thursday horsebacking, suspended, T&E, overspent.
Yeah. Mark, we talked about this a few times. I like all these things. I would spread them out over the week, do a number of them with individuals, smaller teams. When you say senior staff, work on determining who that senior staff is.
Yeah, I think it's completely reasonable. Sometime Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning, somebody's going to say, well, who reports to you? And you could look at them and say, you know what? We haven't really decided that yet. Certainly two people right now. And there are some chairs that have to move around a little bit. But I'm not going to be Kreskin or something and say, these are the people I'm not just going to pick, because that's a pretty big step. I'm going to be doing a lot of feet and arms and hands in the mess, talking to people, making decisions, trying to move forward around customers, around technology and releases and so on. And in talking to a lot of people and meeting one-on-one in small groups and in teams with people, I'm going to get a sense of what people can do and what people want and where the talent is and so on. And maybe we could do that meeting next Tuesday morning. But if we didn't have the team figured out until late the second week, it's not the end of the world for me. There's plenty of stuff going on, and I got to know some stuff before I start asking people to change what they do.
Yeah. And what I would do in addition to that, Mark, is for some, there are going to be some people that just are not going to be able to handle that.
Right.
I would just say, and for now, Samir and Pam's direct reports roll up to me.
Yeah. Okay. Good enough. Name a tech lead who can quickly resolve performance issues and get features on schedule. Samir's team is good. There must be someone there who can lead the effort with quick resolution of defects. Critical that we show customers about FastTrader, that it can be useful.
I like that they called it a tech lead. Thanks, Nathan. I think so too. Again, I would want to see them in smaller groups and individually to cross-reference. Then I'd go select that good candidate.
Right. Good.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Make a decision on Tara as a key leader, involve HR. She's not on top of things, ineffective meetings. May need to reach back into my network at MFT and start recruiting a test and support lead. The role is important.
I agree. I think this is really well written because it doesn't condemn or exonerate her. And it's about data gathering, making a timely decision. Well said, Nathan.
Yeah. Nathan's a pretty smart guy, Dan. You should meet him. And by the way, Nathan has said, please consider recording the case study conversation you and Dan will host in Dallas. Would love to be a fly on the wall. Let's freely admit, we have customers and we have needs too. So you want the next case study that we're going to do live? You got to be there. Okay, next, an old and dear friend of both Dan and I, Rich Rue, made time in his incredibly busy schedule to give us some ideas. Rich, we're giving you a hard time. We love you, man. And Rich starts out with saying, I never went to business school, but I've seen a lot of case studies. I've never done one for real. Okay. Number one, get prepared. Have a talk with the family. Explain daddy is going to be working a lot over the next 3 months. Put the books on my nightstand in a box, except for The First 90 Days by Michael Watkins. It's time to reread that book. And in fact, Rich was traveling and said, I wish I had it in my briefcase right now. Ah, Rich, you need a Kindle. Pour a big glass of scotch. You know, I like Rich. He's already thinking that, you know, let's get the mind fired up by introducing alcohol into the equation. You know, enjoy it and then put the bottle away because you won't be having scotch. You won't be having scotch for a long time.
And I added, or put it in a paper bag in your briefcase, but I really don't recommend that.
Yeah.
But,
you know. Number one. Okay. Check in with Rich. Make sure he's on the same page with coming up with a plan in 90 days.
Even more Rich, right? Do more with Rich, the CEO up front. Get his expectations, get some cover for some hard decisions. And hey, Rich, if I want to do X, Y, Z, where do you see my authority kind of starting and ending?
Yeah, good.
Because he may not be around the following week. He may be traveling. And get his okay to kind of go to the, look, I'm going to go to some big customers and have some hard conversations. Given him my number, Rich, can I have you as a backup when I do that? Give him that briefing. And then when do we meet? How much transparency do you need?
Yeah, I will share with you guys, one of the lessons I've learned in my life is that the only person where your priorities are super important to them is you. Okay, not even to your directs, definitely not to your boss. And when you call Rich next week and he's on the road, he's going to say, I got 25 calls to return. And by the way, 9 of them are customers. I've got a dinner to go to. There's going to be alcohol involved. I probably won't get done until 10 o'clock. I'm not doing it. And you would say, my gosh, the place is burning down. It's not burning down for Rich. It's burning down for you. And that may sound crass, but that'll happen. The higher you go in the organization, the more they're going to say, no, you need to figure that out. You're an executive now. I'm not managing you. I'm an executive. I'm executiving you. Okay. Meet with stakeholders, external stakeholders. Simon is a great start. A list of other key customers and reach out to them. Who in corporate has been watching this place and books? Internal stakeholders, Terrace, Pam, Samir, Victor, Fran Skips, Hannah in HR. Seem like obvious misses. Stop the bleeding. While some of these folks should go and some should be asked to leave, I'd like that to be my decision. I want to know what they know. That's good, right? Don't intemperately fire someone and then regret that they left with knowledge that could have been beneficial. Not that I'm recommending you fire anybody. Maybe even offer some incentives to keep people around for a few months.
Look, a lot of stuff here. Triage, I think, is an important word that you brought up, Mark.
Yeah.
Right? So while you're digging, dig deep, but be careful of rabbit holes, right? You don't want to go too deep in one spot. Work your list, you know, have your, oh my gosh, this is a burning platform type issue. And then I just found out that, you know, we're capitalizing our time incorrectly. You know what? It's next week, baby.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kick that can down the road. As long as you're doing that triage process, I like this.
Yeah, I have so many stories about situations like this. The one that popped into my head was a captain that was chewed out by a colonel once because when the colonel asked him what he was doing in a very dire time, he says, I'm worried about ammunition resupply. And the colonel just went nuts that he's thinking logistical thoughts. And he said, sir, I'm carrying machine gun rounds up the hill to the guys who are about to run out. So guys, you can be in the trenches and be doing something really tactical while at the same time having a part of your brain saying, what does this mean? How do I feel? What am I learning here that will help me? And I would be willing to bet, this will mark me as weird, but in my case, in some situations, I would say, okay, I'm not going to drive up and back every day. And now everybody's thinking, oh, you're going to get an apartment. No, I'm going to spend, I may even spend some of my retirement money. I'm going to have a car drive me up and back every day. I may have them drop me off a half mile away and walk in, but I'm going to be in the car making notes. I'm not going to drive and make notes. I tried that once. In order for me to process the day and what did I learn and writing it down and thinking about what I learned and making new connections and so on. Number four, start building the integration plan. You know, Rich shares at his last job, they were acquired and acquired again. They tried to ease the transition, keep that startup feeling alive. But the more I reflect on it over the years, terrible idea. Years later, there was still a group who openly mourned for the good old days as a startup. Webcom needs to get over itself. It's not a startup. Time to move on. Time to start selling the culture and advantages of MFT. Some people will probably leave because of this. Let them. Getting rid of the Webcom name should happen sooner rather than later. It's tainted now anyway.
So, yeah, sometimes losing a tradition is harder to think about than it is to actually do. You just need to move forward. It's like ripping a Band-Aid off. Dean needs to build his team to the point where directs are telling him which old habits they should dump. And then he's got a sustainable team. When you hit that point, you're there.
Yeah.
When they're telling you, and then you're there. Love the way Rich went after this. Mark, one thing, Rich did have a step three that we skipped.
Oh, I'm sorry.
About reinstating the leadership team, and he has getting the group together.
Yes, you're right.
To talk about kind of what the key to success is in the turnaround. But he put the key phrase in there, or their replacements. So he understands that we need to go and dig deep and understand who the replacements are. I just wanted to make note of that, but nice response.
Small minds think alike. Rich, Thursday at 3 p.m. would be a great time to have this meeting because that would mean the weekly horseback ride has to go. Good. So thank you, Dan. Sorry for that. Thank you for cleaning up after me. Next on the list is Stephen Huber. Here's how I might approach this if I were in Dean's seat. Culture is queen. If cash is king to get a business started and moving, culture is queen in building a successful business over the long term. And that comes from a retired Navy SEAL.
Mm-hmm. I like listening to Navy guys. It's good.
Yeah, but Dan, I mean, you say that, but you weren't really in the Navy. Anyway. Okay. Number one, cash. Meet with Fran, the CFO, Webcom's financial leader, whoever that is. Discuss outstanding receivables. Develop a plan to reduce the $4 million to acceptable benchmark levels. Evaluate all expenses. Reduce unnecessary expenses like horseback rides to close the budget gap.
Dean needs to understand the driver for the back billing issue for sure. Something widespread and systemic is at work here. Listening to customers, issue log, service calls first, certainly horseback rides.
Yeah.
Come on.
Cash, determine the top 20% of the customer base by revenue. According to Pareto, these customers will account for 80% of the revenue. There we go. Set up weekly calls similar to the call with Simon to discuss performance. Over time, Dean can move to less frequent calls, but I'm guessing there are more than a few customers who feel like Simon. So weekly calls.
Yeah. And Stephen, first person to suggest this, kind of like it. Makes good business sense to me. Biggest drivers of revenue, I think, is important. Get them stabilized first. If you're going in an order, that's the order I'd like to go in. And once people start billing their time, I'd also like to see that by margin.
Yeah.
So nice. And congrats on being the first on that.
Good. Culture. Have the leadership team take the Gallup strengths assessment. Top 3 to 4 leaders in each department. Help me learn what people are good at. Help Dean chart a path. Canceling horseback riding will be high on the list of cost-cutting measures. I use Gallup strengths in my organization. I found it more helpful than DISC when we assign tasks. DISC is better for regulating individual behaviors. I'm a very high D. I have some high Cs. What do you think?
I actually like Gallup.
I like too.
The way that works for me. But this step I would prioritize behind determining the team, stabilizing the organization and the financials first. I'd like to get that, but I would put this on the docket and maybe get HR to help as well.
Yeah, rather than you having to do all the facilitating yourself. I would also say this, when crisis like this, everybody is available as a resource. I don't have to say, I'm going to pick this guy rather than that guy because he has this strength and reports to this guy. If I know somebody 2 levels, 3 levels down is available and can do something, I might have them do it. It's all hands on deck, and that means every person could be asked to do anything within reason.
And a good time to do that is that initial meeting with Rich. Say, hey, can you reach out to my peers? I might be doing a little fantasy draft over the next few weeks to get some help.
Yeah, good. Culture. Set up a weekly meeting with the leadership team. This will let Dean start to move culture away from Alex's philosophy to his own. The leadership team is product with Pam, Victor, good for design. Tech team needs a leader following Samir's resignation. There's probably a decent interim person who could be number two stepping up. Tara needs some coaching. I would evaluate steps to consider. Included in the meeting are the other department leaders not directly mentioned.
Good list here. I'm in agreement with Steven.
Yeah. Although I think he mentioned Pam, right? Product is set with Pam.
again, we had that kind of confusion around
Pam. We were less clear, so that's okay.
Yeah, it's not set.
And then Steven goes on to ruin it all by ending his email to us with, "Go Navy, beat Army, anchors away."
I put the anchors away, Mark.
Oh, you did. Oh, you did. Good. That's what ships are good for, drop anchor.
All right.
What is it that line the Marine said in A Few Good Men? Yes, they give us rides to places.
Yeah.
Okay. Next is Tom Landy. Succession planning meeting with Elle, and because she was closest to the old CEO. Make Victor CTO and joint design lead. Has serious discussion with Tara and HR about performance and conduct. Pam to take on all the extra work that was given to Tara, billing customer complaints and similar issues.
Okay, let's break this down. Tommy, talk about talking to Elle.
Great idea.
Being a good idea. Totally agree. You also talked about getting intel on people there. She's very loyal to Alex, is an assumption I would have. It could be an attribution, unfair one. She could advise me. I would get that intel, but I would just take it as a data point. Okay. Victor has an art background. I don't necessarily think he would be CTO material.
He's a great guy, but yeah.
He would have to face off with very senior people at customers in that role. And then again, the CTO title is something I think we're going to want to kind of move away from.
Restructure work week to remove horsing about Thursday, potentially once a quarter thing now. Yeah, I think that's too frequent. Maybe once a decade. Coordinate with department heads to get per hour billing to 90% within 4 weeks and min 98% billing within 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, horseback riding is going away as a firm-sponsored thing, and there's no dispute there. Dean's not likely to structure hours as kind of a flex schedule with mornings and evenings taken. I think he's going to want to watch and see what's going on. And also the time billing will allow him to see kind of where they're undercapitalizing, overexpensing, and things like that. It'll give him more information. Deal with the hours later.
Yeah. Easy wins and software. Speak to the software team. Get top 10 easy wins delivered. Work with key customers to deliver one major functionality they expect in the next 3 months.
Yes. Talk to customers first. Get with the tech team in QA. Get their perspective. Bring them together. And then start going after your quick win credibility. And on the back end of that, you can go after the billing.
Okay. Establish weekly senior management meetings ASAP, dropping to monthly once the company moves to new corporate headquarters. Begin the Trinity with senior management. Tell them you expect them to do that down the organization.
And again, the determining who they're going to be.
You can't have a senior leadership team meeting or one-on-ones with your future senior leadership team the first week because you don't know who they are. Good. Thanks, Tom. Okay, Paul Walker. And Paul's been a listener since 2007. Thank you, Paul. Okay, Paul says he's made some assumptions. Dean continues to get around teams and individuals, continues fact-finding. Financials and CEO give him at least 100 days to have a plan. Doesn't rush to hire and backfill until he's clear on the talent and cost line recovery.
Those assumptions are good approaches.
Those are good. I like that. That's really good. So let's get some quick wins as a framework. Get a top team together visibly and weekly, effective immediately. Okay. May not be a final top team. So I think, yeah, that's probably okay. Would not include those resigning with immediate effect, but should include key directs from their teams. Use of the 5 dysfunctions of the team by Lincioni as a model to explore and set up shared objective of the business for turnaround. Clear need foundations to be set, trust being first parameter.
Right. I like the 5 dysfunctions framework, particularly with the trust piece. That takes investment. I would want to make sure I'm doing this with a team that's going to be together for a while. So I'd put determining the team ahead of this and then maybe go for this after that.
To emphasize the need to change, we need a burning platform or two. Stand up those financials, product timeline delays, and so on. Reinforce the opportunity to win, build reputations, take new responsibility, lead with a new team. Maybe ask for help in the key areas needed. Seems CTO role is one of them.
So burning platforms are certainly available to us.
Yeah, we don't need to create them, right? I mean,
we have those. I like the approach with the team. Get them into the solution domain with you.
Yeah.
Rather than, oh, we have these problems. The last point I'm a little bit confused by, I feel like he's saying, ask the team who should be the CTO. I think the need for a CTO or the head of engineering is not something I'd bring to the team as a group. Perhaps some high potential individuals on the team or some peers from the home office. I might bounce it off them, but really it's up to me to observe and determine and decide.
Yeah. spend time with Hannah in HR to assess terror risk. Maybe we help her leave after a transition time. Priority is explore any talent reviews we have, depth charts on succession, Samir's people, product, Pam's team. There may be a gym or two in the tech team. And refer to the HBR article on leading change by John Cotter.
So I love this so much, Paul.
Yeah.
I thought it was a cool approach that I actually pulled it and reread it for like the 18th time. It's got a couple things in it. It's built around for everybody, the leading change article, and there's a book also, Cotter's fantastic book. There are 8 errors around change, and I'll go through them quickly. Not establishing a great enough sense of urgency. I think Dean's got a chance to do this, not a problem. Not creating a powerful enough guiding coalition. I think the air cover thing we've talked about will address this. Lacking a vision. This is a real threat for Dean. 6 alarm fire, it's easy to get sucked into it and lose the forest for the trees.
Right.
Okay. So he has to align with MFT as well. Error number 4, under communicating the vision by a factor of 10. He's got to do this. He's got to build his constituency, communicate through them, communicate to everybody, and get his peers on side and have them communicating the same message. Error number 5, not removing obstacles to the new vision. He's going to need to break some norms, and that may mean some MFT standards in order to get things moved quickly. And he's going to need Rich's air cover to do that. Error number 6, not systemically planning for and creating short-term wins. Amen. I think this is job 1 with the customers to solve their issues, gain credibility, and get them paying their bills. Also, it'll build team confidence. These quick, short hits, symbolically, they're going to mean something to this new kind of MFT-aligned webcom. Error number 7, declaring victory too soon. Humility is important for Dean. He has to stay grounded. He also needs to keep Rich and the CFO from having a mission accomplished moment and saying, we're done with this. But I think that's a possibility. I think that's a danger as well he's got to watch out for. And then the last one, error number 8, not anchoring changes in the corporation's culture. This is for Dean. This is a case where he should leverage immediate and positive cross-pollination with the MFT tech team, even maybe an exchange program, to keep this from happening. Okay.
Good.
So anyway, I thought it was really cool that he brought that up, and I liked reading off the errors associated with change.
Good.
So thank you.
Number 4, get Victor in a clear seat, even an interim. Maybe give him the Australia account.
I wouldn't do it right away. I think Dean is the chief customer officer for now and has to establish that. Then he can kind of bring other people into it.
Yeah. And then his plus 1, Thursday horseback sessions are flipped to collection Thursday to call outstanding payments and until deficit reclaimed.
I like almost anything besides horseback riding.
Yeah.
Collections, again, would do behind the credibility thing, but absolutely, horseback riding's got to go.
Okay, good. Thanks, Paul. Next, Paolo Augusto Del Fabbro. First 4 actions, actually 5. Call Rich, number 0. Call Rich, have a meeting over the weekend, tell about status and the plan he'll put in place. Check with him if the plan has flaws and what could be done if people at Webcom do not respond. Now, you got to agree with that one, right?
I absolutely do. Get some breathing room. Talk to Rich, air cover. Yep.
Okay. Call and arrange a meeting with Ellen on Monday morning, early, coffee, 2 to 3 hours, status of administrative stuff, plans that were sketched out, and have a good idea about what's going on, check assumptions, and so on.
Debriefing L is on our list. Absolutely. It doesn't have to be Monday, but absolutely.
Good. Meet Tara and Victor Monday afternoon separately. First, Tara, and then Victor. Meeting with Tara. He asks her how she feels about what happened in the disastrous meeting. Maybe she's recovered. He asks how she feels about what was happening to the company. She may have mixed feelings, but Dean would love to hear her ideas. The most important thing Dean would say to her, I was named CEO, but I need someone to help me in the operations of Webcom. I think you're the right person to do it. What do you think about becoming COO? Here, Dean will probably do the exact opposite of what everyone expected. He listened to complaints about Tara from an important customer. He could not risk losing another key person. He knew that Tara was important tactically for Webcom. He decided to trust that with good communication, responsibility, and recognition, Tara would perform well. Maybe she would become the new CEO in a 12-month time frame.
Ooh, interesting twist here. It's gutsy.
Oh.
I like the first parts. I don't think there's been enough time to determine a COO. I don't even know if I want a COO in this organization, in particular Tara. I think Dean needs to understand the dynamics first of the team. If Tara turned out to be ineffective or super unpopular, this could have a very bad effect going forward. I would say more time.
Yeah, hopefully safer. You guys know that Dan, of course, has the benefit of hindsight, and he gained more information working with Tara in the weeks ahead. But nevertheless, when Dan wrote down interesting twists and gutsy, I laughed when we were talking about it to prepare for this cast. And I said, gutsy like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute, figuring out how to sew one out of your clothes. I couldn't see this one. Okay, meeting with Victor. Proposed to become the new CTO. He's professional and lead the tech team. That'd be great. Dan?
Yeah, we as a few people suggested this. Victor has more of an art background. He's got a face off against very technical people. He's good at what he does. I would kind of keep that going.
Yeah. Meeting with the whole Webcom team Tuesday morning, Tara and Victor would have accepted their COO and CTO roles. Oh my. Dean compliments things about things he's seen so far Thursday, Friday, Monday.
I think this is fine as long as you don't do those title changes.
Yeah. Talks about next steps. This is Tuesday morning now. Business as usual, some differences, flexible work hours, horseback riding, other good habits will continue the same. The tech team will focus on implementing the necessary updates on FastTrader. Again, repeating Tara's COO, Victor CTO. Every Thursday in the farm, just after the horseback ride, they will form a circle and we will make sure the most important information is spread across the team. Dean will take the lead in 5 minutes, say what is going on from the CEO's perspective, which means strategy, link with MFT, financial results. Tara will do the same from COO using 3 minutes, relationship with customers, projects are being kept within budget. Victor in 3 minutes covers developments in products and technology and so on. Then everybody that wants to will have 1 minute to say something about their own work and express how they feel about the company. With a team of 70 people, this would take an hour and a half approximately. They would have to adjust a little bit the start and duration, not to lose the meeting at 7 p.m. And the plan is to get the company back on track in 6 months.
I actually like the communications forum here. But Mark, with a team of 70 people, how long do you think that would take?
We have a rule at Manager Tools. We don't tell people how to do things we wouldn't tell them to do to begin with. I can't even comprehend this. I love communication. I want more communication.
This is when we had the conversation, Mark, about the value of the small meeting.
Yes.
And the one-on-ones, kind of breaking it down that way before opening up to a very, very large audience. I think that has a lot of merit here, kind of going from the bottom up. And understanding with smaller teams before you go to the larger team. I think that has merit here.
Okay. He'll follow up by phone with Simon. He'll do this for the following 4 weeks. He'll talk to customers. He'll use his customer as a thermometer. I think what he's saying is Simon is now a stalking horse for everything else. He'll participate in the call with Tara and explain that, hey, the emergency in the building was fire training. So sorry.
I like the communications with the Australian customer. I think we need to do that. Dean needs to do that with all customers.
Yeah. He'll then make sure that Tara will apologize for rudeness. Dean would tell the customer the company is passing by a transition. Some key people left, but he's confident things would be okay. He wouldn't announce right away that Tara was named COO. Oof. He wants to wait that the customer approves his impression about Tara.
I like the part about trying to gain credibility, but a couple things. One, making Tara apologize to the customer. If there's an apology to be made, Dean should make it. He would do it on behalf of the firm. It's best to focus on communication and results, though, I think. Also, if we did make Tara COO, which we don't recommend,
yeah.
I think you have to announce that right away, right? She's going to chuck it up on LinkedIn, and the customer is going to call you.
She's going to sign her emails with it.
Exactly. Even better, right? A customer is going to call you and say, what? I just had this argument with this person and you just made her COO. Everything you just told me in the last meeting, I completely don't believe. So I definitely think that if you do something like that, you would have to make the announcement, but I don't recommend that you do it.
Paolo goes on to go through a list of assumptions, which he put afterwards because they weren't recommendations, but rather assumptions. We'll leave that at that. Paolo, really good. Well, you spent a lot of time on this, and we appreciate
absolutely.
It. Yeah. Okay. Next is Rob Hulbert. And Rob is a very funny guy. I've had some exchanges with him recently. And Rob says, Thursday and Friday were like drinking water from a fire hose, but now it's Monday. Number one, howdy doody time with horses is going to go the way of the Pony Express. People will arrive at the office at 8 a.m. sharp. This is a business, not a country club.
Yeehaw. I agree on the horses. I would watch and learn for 2 weeks on the work hours, match what people are doing to what's required.
Yeah, we want a full day, but
horses got to go.
Yeah, good. Get on the phone with the CFO back at MFT, see who owes us how much and how delinquent they are. And then he goes on to suggest he could enlist some thugs to talk to customers. Tongue-in-cheek, completely tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I hope so. I would first understand the drivers, like I said, the service issues before we go after the collections.
Next point, a big win, get on the phone and talk to each client personally. But then assign a direct to a client. Continue the communication from here on forward. Yeah, I probably wouldn't assign a direct to the client.
Not yet.
Last point, going to put my big boy pants on and see who stays and who goes. Alex, yeah, I'm glad he resigned, right?
Yeah, Dean would agree. He might, but he needs to swallow it and move on.
Yeah. Samir, yeah, probably glad he's gone. Pam Wilson, don't want to lose her. And for the record, she did design. Did resign. Mm-hmm. Maybe trying to keep her, as we've alluded to before. Tara? Yeah. Rob is suggesting Tara should go.
Yeah, she gets another chance.
Yeah. L, absolutely positive. We need to keep her. Admins are influential. She knows the power structure. So debrief L, which we agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that Rich Rogers knows I'm the guy to pull this off. And now Rob is going to go back to being an HVAC guy. Rob, thank you. Excellent.
Excellent.
Okay, next. First of all, we're going to do Simon Collier now, who is next to last. And I apologize, Simon. I transcribed some things incorrectly, and I have you 29th out of 30th, indicating you might not be a licensee, but in fact you are. I left you next to last in this order because, Simon, I didn't say who was licensees up front, and I put you next to last in the list. So it's always good to hear from you, Simon, and I'm sorry I inadvertently listed you with the non-licensees. All right, I'd hold a town hall, give all staff the information I learned, particularly around the financial situation, sales pipeline. I'd invite staff to submit ideas over the next few days.
Right. I like getting to know the team in smaller groups first because I want to hear their voices in this town hall. They're more apt to do that if I have a personal connection with them.
Yeah. After a few days, use team meetings to announce the initial changes that are upcoming. Make a point of mentioning when a particular change has been received as advice from the team. And I think the question, as you wrote, Dan, is what is the mechanism? How do we decide what those changes are going to be?
Right.
Changes include expectation that all time is billed, expectation of professionalism. Folks, I don't think you have to say that there's an expectation of professionalism. By definition, there is. When people behave unprofessionally, they know they're behaving unprofessionally 90% of the time.
Yeah. And everything else that would cascade, you know, once I have the team,
yeah,
I would want to observe how the team moves this through the organization, how they're communicated through.
Next, it seems like Hannah NHR is going to be my new best friend for managing Tara. I have to have one-on-ones with her, set expectations on billing clients, measurable performance metric. Lucky for Tara, it'll be easy to improve on the current measurements.
Yeah, you're going to get to know Hannah better. But the day-to-day is Dean's responsibility. And again, I would give her a pass for last week. Manage her like any other direct from that point forward.
Not sure how many clients exist. If it's few, then I'd be introducing myself to each one and looking to get regular feedback. If lots, I'd introduce something like NPS to get a feel for how customers are feeling.
Yeah, and a few, and you're right on the money. Simon, Dean needs to do it.
Yeah. I'd offer Simon control over 50% of the development budget for the next two quarters. Wow. Might as well have customer-directed development gets the dev team connected.
Yeah, Dean needs more data. This is going to be very constraining, allowing a customer to control 50% of the resources. Australia may be a loud customer with small margins, so I wouldn't go there yet. You need to understand what you're trying to do here. Yeah.
Yeah. Other 50% of the development budget goes to the testing team as a temporary measure. Same thing, right?
Yeah, same here. Need more data. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Last bit of input. Sam Hammond. First four things to do. all hands meeting, ideally on the following Monday or Tuesday. Thank everyone for their time. Announce the sudden resignation of Samir. Give some context on why MFT sees an office consolidation. Product is not serving customers due to reliability and unfulfilled updates. Let's see. I've been impressed with plans for growing the product. I do not plan any immediate changes other than putting one of the engineering team in a lead position as we explore how to fill CTO. Our team building will continue on Thursdays. What will change is the format so we can actually talk to one another and ask questions. An all hands meeting with everyone at the office where I can share our challenges, plans, and take questions. So Dan, go ahead.
There's a lot to address here, Sam. First, I like doing the town hall, but again, our recommendation is after some information gathering. You can show them that you're planning one on Monday by booking in for Friday just to take some anxiety away. But doing it later allows Dean to start building some bridges and learning about the informal leadership network. He can ask some of those people what he thinks it should cover and not cover at that town hall, kind of work the agenda. And also he can do some thinking about org structure, maybe having some conversation and some input message from Rich at this town hall as well. Make it a much better session doing it a little later.
Good. Next is building relationships. Get to know and evaluate the people and culture. And folks need to learn about you. One-on-ones with Alex, Pam, Tara, Victor, and a few of the engineering team, maybe two times a week for the first month. Have Pam and the engineering team meet and lay out product plans. You need some early wins.
Yeah, I wasn't super clear, but Pam's leaving too. So I would include her in the analysis, but the knowledge that she's leaving and you're scanning the team for talent to replace her as well on top of all these things. So, yeah.
I do think that's the first person, though, that has said that the team needs to get to know you as well.
Yeah. Right?
Okay. Immediate financials. You'll be in all major customer calls with Sarah to get insights and to evaluate Tara. List of overdue accounts. Call them personally. Get commitment on payment. We've talked about that often. Study financials to analyze where the hours are spent. Opportunities to get more service hours. So on.
And so I agree. Customer calls are a great place to observe Tara's progress. Really good. I like that suggestion. It's a real chance these overdue accounts, again, are for a reason, possibly service, software issues, things like that, installs. And the last point, you can't get the hours spent from the financials yet until people start billing their time. So there's kind of a short-term thing we need to do first, and then we can analyze the hours.
Okay, next, schedule a regular call with Rich, MFT CEO, to give him updates, insight, and plans. The problem is not really about the move. That is just what elevated people's reactions. The first work is going to be stabilization and recovery. The move may be better viewed as an integration and consider an option to fold part of the Webcom people in with a Cashbolt team. You need to agree on a schedule and some metrics on which these decisions will be based. Heads up, the UK group might do an in run and ask for a budget to go build a new product.
So that's interesting. Sam, I love this, right? I love the meeting with Rich, but I would take you one better. I would go all the way up and put this right up at the front. Establish the baseline with Rich up front, expectations, managing them, get relief on some things, agree how you're going to report to him, things like that. Some of the things you listed here, but I would do it right away.
Okay, right? Good. And that takes us to the end of the input. We have now spent nearly 3 hours on input from our community, dominated by licensees. And I'd like to say thanks to everyone for the hard work. We had some that ran 4 and 5 pages long, which we had to abbreviate for time's sake. Thanks, everyone. And we look forward to doing this again based on the response we got. And now, folks, we come to the part that many people were not expecting, I assume, until we announced it at the beginning of the cast. What actually happened? In this particular case, it's a wonderful opportunity. We have the person who was playing Dean. And again, tip of the hat, Shannon Corn, for remembering that Dan McGuire is Dean Morgan. And now I asked Dan to put together his thoughts on the entire experience with Webcom and talk about what he did. Dan is if you haven't figured it out yet, is a very thoughtful guy. And I have no doubt that he'll say this worked and that didn't work and so on. And we're going to take it through step by step. So Dan, again, from all of us, thank you for taking the bandage off the wound and helping everybody learn not the approved solution, but one solution that worked and why you think it did.
I had a lot of fun with this. And It was difficult at first because we sanitized so much of it and changed so many names. But I think we got through this. And first thing I want to say to everybody is thank you for your responses. They were fantastic. I really wish I had all of you advising me back then, because it would have saved me an awful lot of trouble. It was so good. It's just fantastic. You know, the first thing I did, Mark, was I went home that Friday night, and I broke things into a few categories. One, I have customer issues. Two, culture / sense of urgency. I didn't feel like there was one. Three, finances. Ugh. Leadership gaps and issues, and then underlying technology. Kind of just listed five columns and to organize my thoughts. The other thing that I want to remind everybody, I didn't have the eventual muscle memory that was built into my way of doing things for manager tools. Manager tools didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I was thinking about what I was going to say to Tara, how I was going to set up one-on-ones, where I saw things I'd like to correct or things I'd like to say that people were doing well, and then things I wanted to delegate, I didn't have the automatic words that I learned over the years from manager tools in order to do that. And that sort of muscle memory would have made it so much easier for me just to focus on the big issues, but I didn't have that in my toolbox yet.
Right.
So that made things a little bit more difficult. So I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that. This predates manager tools. So over the weekend, after the fateful Thursday and Friday, I did set up a meeting on Sunday night with Rich to get some air cover. This was a 30-minute meeting. And if you guys knew the person I'm calling Rich in this case, super high D, you need to hit the points. If he thinks you're going to be really negative or take a long time, you're going to lose his interest.
Right. And help us, total revenue or assets under management of MFT at this time?
MFT's assets under management?
Yeah. Or
you have to be careful here. It was direct to customer. They didn't do portfolio management. Customer assets were in the hundreds of millions.
Okay.
But MFT didn't manage their assets.
Okay.
Okay. It was direct to customer, e-commerce sites.
Yeah. So CEO of a nine-figure company.
Absolutely.
No surprise, yeah. High D.
Mm-hmm. So, When I had the call with him, it was a 30-minute call. But when you do with any 30-minute call with a senior executive, you prep like mad, right?
Right.
So I spent a lot of hours doing that, making sure it was factual and positive. First thing I covered was, hey, you know what? Samir left, but I like this tech team.
Oh, good.
We got something going here. So I opened up positive.
Yeah.
I covered the customer issues and the threat to revenue that they posed. I covered the broad strokes of the financial reality. He had not spoken to the CFO about it, so I was breaking some news there, which was unfortunate.
Yep.
I discussed some possible technical issues that I was starting to sniff out. I needed to learn more. I said, you know, I just don't know yet. And I touched on culture. He had a very strong opinion about the culture. I think Country Club came up. But I kind of dissuaded him from kind of jumping to conclusions. I was like, you know what? There's some good things going on there. Some real talent. I in particular liked Victor. So here's what I got out of this conversation. Number one, this is beautiful. I got relief from dealing with the financials for 6 weeks. I said, Rich, we're in the red. I'm not even going to think about it for a couple of weeks. I just need something. I have 10 equations, 10 unknowns. I need a constant. I want to leave financials the way they are. I promise you, I will deep dive the daylights out of it. And I had a reputation for running a fiscally tight organization. And I said, I promise you, I'm going to get that. I'll give you a full drill down, but give me 6 weeks. I didn't need all six, but that was a big break. So immediately, you know, I cheated, right? I had something taken off the board that the rest of you, when you responded, still had on the board.
Okay. Yeah.
I got clearance to bring another person. I'll call her, Mila, from the home office. This is somebody I knew in the organization who was super collaborative, very technical, just real easy to work with. But most importantly, I trusted her opinion. And I got permission to bring her up to Connecticut immediately. She ended up being there on Tuesday. to be just a listening post, another set of eyes and ears for me in breaking down the problem and understanding it. Rich volunteered, thank goodness. He said, look, I got your back. When you talk to these customers, tell them to call me. I said, whoa, hold on. I said, how about I give them my number? And then if they want to talk to you, I'll put you as a backup. And he said, I'll do you one better. He said, I'm going to email them right now. Send me the customer list. I'm going to send an email about what's going on. They already have the announcement about you.
Yeah.
But I'm going to send a, you know, we're committed, I'm committed, work with you, work with us sort of email. And he did that. That made a tremendous difference for me.
Wow.
And then the end result of this was I got those three big things and I got Rich understanding my situation. Whew. And he was like, yeah, dude, we'll talk once a week.
Which suggests, if you don't realize this, guys, that wouldn't necessarily be normal, but the CEO is saying, I want to talk to you and I'm going to be supporting you and be aware of how things are going. He's elevating his level of interest in you, which can be a negative, but it also gives you a chance to talk to him and you won't feel like you're on an island all by yourself without resupply opportunities.
Exactly.
Okay, what about Monday?
So starting on Monday, I did a few things. Okay. Obviously, you know, we brought this up a few times. Like, how do I determine who the leaders are? So I started my exploration of the, I'll call it quote unquote, informal leader network, the people who are admired and looked up to in the organization for, you know, technical know-how, getting things done, things like that. And I did it through a series of small whiteboard meetings and drill downs on customer issues, on technical, I'll call it functional components, and some of their newer plans as well. So I kind of broke them into three different types of meetings. I ran them across the groups and they were really dual purpose. One, I needed to learn. And then number two, I wanted to see folks in action.
Which you wouldn't do in a town hall. Which you wouldn't do if you did one-on-ones with your directs and they did one-on-ones with their directs. And so you were masked a little bit from your skips.
Yeah, this was definitely a very tiring set of days.
Right.
I injected Mila, who arrived on Tuesday, and she held, I would say, I had a deep dive session with these teams. Go have another one. I want to know what you think. And what we did was we would compare notes. So she would say, you know what? Mary is absolutely top notch. I saw her in this meeting, and I'd say, you know what? I got the same feeling. Okay, that's a possible leader right there. And we developed kind of a list of five or six people at the next level down, and one of them was on Tara's team, who Mila and I agreed were kind of the new backbone of Webcom.
Okay.
So, and this was by like Wednesday.
And let me ask you, so you kind of knew this by the end of the day on Wednesday, so 3 days in. Compare on a scale of 0 to 100, what did you think you knew Monday morning about who had talent and who didn't? And what did you know by Wednesday?
I'd say 10 on Monday, 60 on Wednesday.
And so that's incredible. I mean, the scale confuses things. I'm not suggesting that's a 6x improvements, but the bottom line is you feel more confident making a decision about who's going to be doing what if you're at 60 rather than if you're at 10.
Yeah. And that 60 would have been 40 had I not had the person come in from the home office and cross-reference with me, somebody I trusted. Yeah,
because she could have meetings with people and then back brief you on what she was seeing and who was truly good and wasn't just, and was good in the details rather than presenting, for instance.
And we had history and I respected her instincts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And then what we did was took those five or six kind of backbone people, pulled them aside by the end of Thursday, and I had one-on-ones with them, fact-based kind of one-on-ones. And I just hit them. Tell me about the state of things here. Tell me about the customers. What do you worry about? What do you think our strengths are? Tell me about the technology, the people. In some cases, I talked about finances. And certainly would just ask a culture question. Like, what about the culture should we be watching for to keep? And what are some of the things that you would actually change? And I got a lot of their input. Now, some of these meetings ran over. Thursday was really late day for me because I was prepping for the Friday town hall. But this was super valuable time for me.
Good. Okay. So Next, Monday's customers.
Yeah. On Monday, I took that list and somebody suggested, you know, by revenue. And that's exactly what the CFO told me to do. Sort it by revenue. I called the all the major customers and relayed my commitment to them.
And you know, this, if I can, Dan, sorry to interrupt, this is one of those places where a little bit more information may have been helpful to people. People wondered if there were 10,000 or if there were 20, which is a couple of orders of magnitude that might have been useful for folks to know. And I suspect you already knew roughly within an order of magnitude.
It was in the teens.
Yeah, it was in the teens. So we're talking about 20. I suspect many people would, had they known that. And yes, you knew that. And yes, Dan West, this is a case of the case study not being, can't tell you everything that the actor did. But if you knew it was 20, you would have said, I'd call every single one of them. That would be a default. You would just immediately go to that. So good. Okay.
Yeah, it was a B2B situation. So it was about 20 customers. I called them. And what I did was I sent them an email and I left a voicemail. So I would send an email. And on the voicemail, I would say, hey, my name is Dan McGuire. I have this new role. I'm committed to you. I just want to make sure that I speak with you and anybody else you want to speak to this week and relay to you how we feel about these things. Because I didn't just want to send it in print. I did both, and I got to about 80% of them that first week, at least a short call with them. And from there, I used my last week of L being around to set up the ongoing meetings.
Okay.
Okay, last 2 weeks, actually. So I did that. I let them know it was going to be a process. You know, when I did have the meeting with them, that I, and by me, I meant MFT, the parent company. That's me. I am the company. I'm 100% committed to them. I gave them my personal number and I told them I'd be willing to share riches as well, should they feel they needed it. None of them did.
It's funny how when you're offering to share it, nobody needs it. If you don't offer to share it, a couple of guys do need it.
I was kind of glad they didn't.
Yeah, sure. But the way you reduce the chances they need it is you offer it.
Yeah. And Rich had already emailed them. That had a lot to do with them saying, hey, we got a line to this guy. You know, don't worry about it. I'll email him if I need him.
Yeah.
So that was it. I mean, that was kind of my whole customer thing that week. There were some kind of deep dives with, there was another deep dive with Australia and the UK, kind of let's pick up this meeting again with happy faces.
Right.
But other than that, this was my interaction with the customers that week one.
Yeah. Okay, good. Friday.
So this is kind of, the town hall was kind of my gathering point for the week of all the things I kind of learned. I didn't look at it as a big important thing that was going to establish anything, but I looked at it as a nice checkpoint. And by talking to my directs, Tara and Victor and Mila by this time, as well as the 5 to 6 informal leaders, I kind of effectively pre-wired the session.
Not that you knew what pre-wire was, because this is pre-MT.
No, I never would have used that term. But I had some people, some friendly faces in the room that I could look at while I was talking about things. And as it turns out, I had some people who were willing to speak up a lot in that meeting. And but still, it was a pretty heavy, heavy session. You know, I talked about the need to improve our customer relationships ASAP, like right now. Like we have a problem with customers. They aren't paying us. Okay. And, you know, here's the state of our next release. Here are some things that I'm hearing. I understand that some things are lost in translation and that sort of thing. But I am asking for the customer's input. And what I'd like to do is also spend some time internally talking about a customer service improvement session that we would have once a week until we feel like we're BAU.
Right.
All right. And I'm going to have Mila run it. And I introduced Mila at this meeting as well. And she was already pretty well liked. I mean, she's not like me, right? She was like a real likable person. She's a people person, right?
Right.
And, you know, she was just buying coffees the whole week and, you know, just, you know, meeting people informally, always smiling, you know, that sort of thing. So I said, look, Mila's going to put this together. What do you think? And hands went right up. And we took a few suggestions on the customer service improvement thing. We wrote them down and we said, okay. And Mila said, wait, stop. After this meeting, I want to pull all you guys aside who have suggestions and let's work on that. Dan, just move on.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Oh, genius.
Yeah, it was her genius, not mine. I was like, oh, good, rabbit hole. Maybe let's go down this rabbit hole. And then I did a short brief on the financial reality, which was really kind of gloom and doomy part of it. And from a macro level down to webcom. So MFT's financials and their quarterlies were soft because now it's, you know, the bubble's kind of bursting here. And now all the way down to webcom, and webcom was downright grim. And the thing that struck me is 90% of the people in that room had never seen webcom's financials. Never even thought about it. They thought about the copy machine is next to my desk and it's really loud, but they weren't thinking about, you know what? We got a cash flow issue.
Well, the vast majority of people at work don't even know what a cash flow issue is. And that's management leadership's fault.
I suspect it is. I think there's a way to explain it.
Yeah.
That people can understand. And it's important for them to understand their context. Absolutely.
Okay.
And I said, you know, what do you think over budget means at the end of the year if we don't make our budget? What do you think it means? You know, like hand kind of goes up like right at ear level, not high. It says, layoffs, you think we might have cuts? I'm like, I think you might be right.
Yeah.
That could happen. So let's talk about how we do this. Look, we can solve this. Let's talk about how we do it. And, you know, what are some of the big things that we spend on now? What can we eliminate now? Three hands go up. Horseback riding. I'm like, you know what? We'll talk about it. I don't want to say anything now, but I think you guys might be right about that. Let's put that aside.
Yeah.
Right? So they killed the horseback riding right in that meeting.
And you didn't have to. Arrow you have to use out of your quiver.
Yeah. I didn't even have that arrow.
As Dave Lynch, a guy I looked up to in the Army, taught me, and he had been taught it by one of his sergeants, choose your battles carefully and always be conscious of timing.
Yeah. And when they volunteered horses, and this team actually had free lunches too. They volunteered horses and lunches. I had to turn around for a second to keep from smiling too much because I was so unbelievably happy. I was overjoyed, you know? And then the organization, I said I introduced Mila and that she'd be with us for the foreseeable future. I also decided, I said, look, I'm going to decide the team. You understand we have a team management structure issue here with our resignations. And honestly, I had, Pam was in the room for this and so was Elle. So I invited them. I said, you know, I made sure I thanked them a lot for their service with some specifics of things that they had done. And I said, look, I'm going to decide on a management team structure. Give me 3 or 4 weeks. But for now, all of Samir's and Pam's people will report to me. We've already talked about it. I think people are pretty comfortable with it. Obviously, that's not sustainable for me personally, but I'm working on it. And I want to make sure I do the right thing by you.
I suspect people are a little surprised, Dan, that over the next 3 to 4 weeks, not to suggest that in 4 weeks, you'll announce it. You may pick up parts of it along the way. But I think there are people who are, as often as we had people say, I decide on your team now. I think 3 to 4 weeks is a good lesson for people that you could take that long and you're going to be in the weeds for that long until you truly understand who you're going to put in a key role reporting to this singular head of the organization.
I had an idea of what I was going to do already at this point. I just asked for 3 to 4 because I wanted to confirm and make sure I did the right thing. And communication also, you know, it's not made until the communication is done. You know, it might be made between my ears, but I knew that I was going to need some time for a communication plan so that nobody learned from an announcement. They all learned from their manager or from me.
And I assume you asked for questions from the audience?
I did. I spoke for about 30 minutes. I had booked for 60. I asked for questions and I had prompts like, you know, I would ask myself, I'll stand in front of the room and say, oh, Dan, you know, what's going to happen to this now? But I didn't need any of them. I had hands go up right away. Some of them were my 5 or 6 backbone people, but most of them were not. They were just, you know, people asking questions like, hey, what are we going to do with these back pay? You know, this billing, you know, these customers aren't paying.
Right.
When are we moving? Are we moving right away?
Yeah.
Is there going to be an allowance for a commute when we move? Will there be layoffs when we move? Things like that.
Legitimate concerns. Concerns that affect people's families.
Yep. So that's what I did week 1. I mean, I didn't dig into deep into the pipeline or to billing or to standards or things like that. I really just dug deep with the people and the teams to understand kind of what my informal network was, got with the customers, and then kind of drew it together with a drawstring at the end of the week and said, here's where we are, let's move forward.
Good. How long were you there?
It was a year before we moved.
Okay. And did you stay through the move?
I did. I stayed through the move, yeah.
So how would you describe, if you had to write a brief postscript? Obviously, it was a long process and you spent a lot of hours doing it. How do you feel about how it went?
I feel good about how it went. It was not perfect, Mark. I definitely made some mistakes along the way.
Welcome to the human race.
And by the way, talk about case studies here. I had never done this before. I was way out over my skis.
Yeah.
With this thing. And I appreciate, you know, Rich putting me in the role.
And you were gobsmacked. You were dumbfounded when Rich said you're CEO, right? You didn't ever think you would be CEO, or did you?
I'm not CEO of my own house, Mark. I just, are you kidding me? I'm not even close. I come below, in below the pets. This was a big deal. I was just, whoa, very, very humbled.
Yeah, there's a lesson in there. If you're good at what you do, but you don't see yourself as a CEO, that doesn't mean you don't need to prepare for it. And it doesn't mean you need to want it. Okay, you may be asked to do it because in this case, Dan's role and his background were perfectly suited, even if he didn't think that. And you could essentially derail your career notably by telling somebody, I won't take that role. And so Dan said yes, went through the process, learned a great deal, mostly wins, some losses. That's baseball. And he now realizes, did you know at the time, this is going to be a case study? Or this felt like you were in a movie?
Oh, goodness, no. I had the case study background behind me, and that helped. Because I've read case studies, and I was like, glad I'm not that guy. And so I did more stepping back because I had that. But make no mistake, you call this a basket of issues, right? The 30 issues we talked about in this case study. Any one of them would have been my biggest issue of the month the year before, you know? And now it's like, whoa.
Embarrassment of riches. Yeah.
So, moving forward, I got some big breaks. The informal network, some of those people came to me and said, these are the people that you should be picking to run this place. They told me amazingly. That literally came in like, three people came in my office and said, it's not me, but this person is fantastic. And she doesn't really talk much, but I think you should have a conversation with her. And we would report to her. That's kind of cool.
Right? Yeah, that's cool. That's putting the organization first.
They did. And they really cared about the organization. I messed some things up too, Mo Mark. HR... At this point in my career, I didn't really have a good feel for HR.
Right.
I didn't even know that what I could have done was gone first and talked to Rich and HR and said, there are some people I'm going to want to retain. Let's put together some stay packages.
Ah, okay.
So I can say, stay for 6 months. At the end of 6 months, you get X if you do these following things and behave this way professionally and things like that, and we'll make you comfortable. That's a tool that was in my toolbox. I didn't lift up the section and find that tool until later in my career. And had I had that, it would have made things a lot easier because I did have a few more kind of high angst resignations as Alex started to build his new firm.
Yeah, inevitable. And how did the move go?
The move went well. I underestimated the number of people who would be completely destroyed by the commute by double.
Yeah.
There were definitely some people that left the office at 3 p.m. They literally lived right down the street from the school, picked their kids up, dropped them off at home, came back to the office, or dropped them off at either home or aftercare or something like that. And I didn't understand and respect that enough to know that they were going to have to tell me they were leaving at the 11th hour. And they did.
Right.
And had I done that, I might have been able to do something for them through HR. Maybe I couldn't have accommodated, but I could have prepared. So it kind of caught me a little unaware, and it was completely self-inflicted wound in my mind.
Okay, good. I asked that question, folks. I actually knew the answer. Dan had shared with me a great deal more. And we have to be willing to recognize that even CEOs who are great say, oh yeah, God, there were so many things I didn't do. And there were things in year five in my role that I realized I should have done this in year one, but I didn't know to do it in year one. You can only do what you know or what you can reach a little bit more for. And if your approach to a situation like this, where there are burning platforms everywhere and yeah, there are enemies in the trench with you and you can't be thinking about strategic artillery placement. You know, you can't be thinking about how you're going to get up and hit home runs in the bottom of the inning if you've got two men on and nobody out and a tough batter at the plate. If you're thinking about all of those things and then you think, I have to come up with the perfect solution. And every time you come up with a solution, there are negatives, there are weaknesses, there are areas of risk associated with it. And so therefore, because you can't find the perfect solution and you think that other executives before you have had some sort of perfect solution because they seem to have done things that worked out well, you don't do anything at all. And of course, there's not doing anything at all is not an option. It'd be better to close your eyes and knock an arrow and, you know, and loose and see what happens.
Exactly.
And I think there are an awful lot of people who shoot for perfection and wait and, you know, ready, aim. And you're going to have to make decisions and you're going to discover that you were off on some things and you're going to have to play some catch up in the following week to clean up the messes from the previous week. Emotionally, you're going to feel that overall it is a parade of misses, mistakes, and messes. This is how it feels, but that's your emotional and fear-based mind and heart talking to you. And you have to be willing as a leader to look up over the parapet and say, okay, there are less enemies coming right now. I have this variable a little bit more fixed. And I know I have 3 weeks and that one will be okay. I know it. Whereas yesterday I had 9 things I'm worried about. Today I only have 7. And so I have a little bit more breathing space to think a little bit more somewhere between tactical and strategic. But if all you do is sit there and beat yourself up for, I don't have the perfect solution, or the phrase I hear an awful lot, I don't know what to do. Dude, you're not supposed to know what to do. You're supposed to think about what to do, and you're supposed to do it, and you're supposed to adjust. And that's why there are so many high Ds and senior positions. They're going to say, I'll take a swing. We'll see what happens. And the other people in the world go, no, you can't possibly do that. There are people, lives at stake. There's revenue. You might get fired. He says, well, I know one thing for sure. I'm going to get fired and we're going to be ruined if I don't do anything at all. Don't make the perfect enemy the good.
Mark, I'm so glad you put it that way. At no point did I feel like I was doing this right.
You don't.
Here's the 4 things I did the first week. It looks so nice and neat now.
Yeah.
It felt awful.
Yeah.
The other thing, I underestimated how smart the people were. I had at least 10 people come to me and saying, thank you for killing horseback riding. It's so stupid.
Yeah. I don't like horses, but I felt I needed to go as part of being a member of the culture.
But you went out and bought chaps. Like, what's the deal? You know, they were way ahead of me on that. And they also came in and said, don't worry about the resignations. We got this.
Wow. That's great.
Which is kind of cool. Big one. I whiffed on the messaging to the home office. So I didn't get to the home office enough. And the rumors, and some of these are proliferated by Rich and some other people, of country club living went on way longer than they should have. And that hurt me. It hurt the team. And that was me not protecting them with good, solid communication to my peers. And, you know, it was HR, it was me. But that went on too long, and it ended up manifesting itself in some problems at the 11th hour that were unnecessary, and that was on me, Mark.
You mentioned chaps, and we mentioned horseback riding. This may be forever known as the horseback riding case study. I hate to admit it, but I don't have any chaps, but I do have a spur on my desk, because that's one of the things leaders do is spur people for high performance. And I think, in light of the fact that we are now nearly at 2 hours worth of recording, we should probably end it here.
Let's do it.
Folks, thank you so much for spending all this time with us. Case studies are a useful learning tool. They're prevalent at business schools. Dan experienced them at business school and also through his high potential leadership programs at large organizations. You can see where they combine multiple aspects of organizational issues. This is not a geometry problem that they're going to teach you how to solve and then you practice solving it in homework. They combine management, leadership, systems, processes, technologies, each of which at any time may in fact be the prevalent thing to be worried about. And then the synthesis of facts and ideas that you have to put together and make decisions and react to your mistakes as well as your successes to help you grow and to help you improve your ability to lead and manage other people. Part of the transition to becoming an executive. Dan, thank you so much for the hours and hours and hours you spent tolerating me and also answering every person's input. I could not have done this without you, and I look forward to doing this again live in Dallas on the 18th of September.
Mark, it's been an absolute privilege. These responses were fantastic. Thank you. This has been a great time.
Yeah, and I'll say it's been 13 years, and it still chokes me up that we have such a strong and vibrant community, and it is a privilege for everybody here at Manager Tools, and I'll extend that to Dan as well. Thanks, everybody. That's it. Come back next week. It's always good at Manager Tools. See you then.